Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 15th Transylvania International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Monica Lazurean-Gorgan, who is presenting her documentary, A Mere Breath, here at the festival. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Would you be able to tell our listeners a little something about the story of the film?
Yes, I shot in Transylvania. It's right in the heart of Transylvania in Romania, in the most polluted town. It used to be the most polluted town in Europe until the factory closed down in 2009. It's called Copșa Mică. I shot there with a family who lost their job in the factory that used to pollute. And I stayed with the family for 7 years, and I see kids becoming adults, because I was very intrigued and very, intrigued by the contradictions, that we all have in our human nature. The father wanted the factory to reopen, but this factory was affecting their health a lot. In the same time, the father is a very religious guy, and he was waiting for a miracle to happen to enable his daughter to raise from a wheelchair and walk. So it's a lot of contradiction, moral dilemmas within. I'm interested in this human nature contradictions.
I thought there was an underlying theme of like being dependent on things that actually hurt us.
Yes, that's true. And the background, it's this factory, and it's also about environment, mm-hmm. because it's crazy. I mean, what was happening there? It's the factory polluted over the accepted limited standards. Yeah. So, the situation is quite dramatic.
What about the way it was shot? You said that it was shot over a period of 7 years. But how would you actually decide when to go over and kind of film them?
Yeah, I'm still in a very close relationship with the family, and I ask them to call me each time something is happening in their family. They called me, for example, when the father went to Germany to work, but I didn't put that in film because he returned it 2 months later, so it was not matching in the film. It was not random, but I always looked for changes. For example, when the oldest daughter is leaving the house and moving with the boyfriend, then they called me, and I was like, in few hours I was there, mm-hmm. very fast. Otherwise, I wanted to cover all the seasons, and I was going like 2 times per year.
Yeah, and you built up a good close relationship with them. Were you close with them before you started the film?
Yeah, I met them. And then I came with the crew film like 2 months later after I met them. Our relationship built up during years.
Of course.
But yeah, we are close.
Was it always easy to kind of film in these moments? Some of the moments in the film are quite personal. I'm thinking of the trips to the doctors. I'm thinking of other kind of personal things that happen in their everyday lives.
They accepted me quite easily, and we matched, and we have good chemistry, and that's why I think it was easy for them to, you know, of course, when there is a camera, reality is changing. I cannot say I'm the fly on the wall and this is a pure observational stuff. No, and I also don't believe in the boundaries between this is just documentary, this is just fiction, or it's a film. So they were feeling okay with me, and I used to come myself before, stay with them for 2-3 days, and then I was calling the DOP to come so that they can really chill and don't feel stressed because of our presence.
And for a film that is kind of shot over a period of 7 years, the whole film actually kind of looks very consistent on a stylistic level. What about the choice of just putting of having the camera mostly just the observing the scene. I thought that was quite an interesting choice. Did you? You always had that in mind, obviously, because you continued it on.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted. I mean, I'm very fond of a good picture, like a good stylish. I want cinema. Of course, if I would do another documentary that require running with the camera on the shoulder, I would do that. Yeah. But when you can and when you have the possibility, I like to build up a good frame. And yeah, I like this style, but I'm not exclusively working like this, let's say. Yeah. I'm a admirer of Ulrich Seidel type of look. So yeah, I was going for that, and I was pretty lucky with the scenes in the kitchen around the table, because they were gathering a lot around the table, and I would admiring this, because they were, even though they were not getting along all the time that well, eventually they were talking around the table. And in the same kitchen there was another room, like another dark room, where I could go with the camera and with the DOP and stay there for hours.
Oh yeah.
And just I was staying there for hours, so they were coming, going, cooking, talking. So it was like really, it's like to have a dark room.
Yeah, that's it. Because like people don't usually realize, but you must have shot a lot of footage.
I actually was not shooting extremely much, so I don't know, in proportion. I cannot put it in figures, in numbers, but I was not shooting extremely a lot, because I kind of knew what I want and what I needed from the story. And the good part of shooting during 7 years is that when I was having time, I was also editing, like not editing, selecting, playing a bit in the editing room. So that's good, because then you realize, you start to do a bit of a structure or pre-structure, let's say. So then you realize what it's missing, what you need, what you don't. So I was not randomly shooting a lot, but I was quite focused in what I want.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I love the most about this documentary, and I think actually defines it too, is that the family always kind of remains central. Despite the fact that some of the things that they do I'm not very familiar with, I still kind of felt very close to them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, family theme is, it's important. And for me, you know, family is not perfect, never,
yeah,
ever.
Of course.
I always seen the father as the lead, as the main, as the protagonist. But of course I'm interested in the others, but yes, it's, after all, it's the dynamic that it's happening in a family. Mm-hmm. And it's so, yes, it's easy to see the changes when you see the film or you are not part of that family, but when you think that actually, well, maybe in my family things are changing from 1 year to another like this, so yeah.
It's pretty surprising how things can change, actually, sometimes. That's the great thing. Just a final question. Some of our listeners might be interested in the actual way in which it was the film was actually able to be brought to the screen. I know that HBO was kind of involved in the film.
In the beginning, I was having an NGO, but just in the very beginning, in 2009, supporting the film, let's say. But then I continued to shoot with my pocket money until the rough cut. Mm. When I had the rough cut, HBO saw it, HBO Europe, and they said, "Oh, but we love it." So they joined as co-producers. Oh. It's a beautiful collaboration, and I'm happy with that.
Right. And for anyone who would like to know more about the film, maybe places that it's playing, is there any future plans for the film? Is there any way in which our listeners might be able to follow the news regarding Mere Breath?
Now it's going in Sarajevo.
Okay.
It's still on Festival Scope, who's having permission there.
And we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. It was a great pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much also.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.